Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
That's right, my favorite corporate thug motivator,
Gary Vaynerchuk. Did I say that right?
You did, my man.
Okay.
Gary V, what's happening, my brother?
Yeah, from here on out, you are Gary V.
Gary V, absolutely.
Everybody defaults into Gary V. I mean, it's a hell of a lot more fun than Vaynerchuk.
Absolutely.
That's all your social media anyway.
That's true.
Now, you're an entrepreneur, investor, author, but just tell the audience, you know, what it is you do exactly.
I'm a businessman. Now it's called an entrepreneur. I was born in Russia, grew up in my dad's liquor store, hustler, baseball cards, you know, lemonade, just that kind of kid, selling blow pops in school. Mm-hmm. Took over my dad's liquor store in Springfield, New Jersey, and launched one of the first e-commerce wine businesses in America, and built my dad's business from a $3 to $65 million business. And then I started a YouTube show when YouTube was 4 months old, thought it was gonna be a big thing. It popped. Then I thought Twitter was gonna be big. This time I learned from seeing YouTube sell for $2 billion. I said, this time I'm gonna invest.
Right. Yeah.
And so I invested in Twitter. Then I decided to invest in Tumblr, then Facebook. So I made a couple of bucks. Then I gave a speech at a conference that went viral. You know, stop watching Lost, which is just my whole thesis. Like, you know, so many people listening right now, you know, if you're complaining, like look, if you're happy and you've got student loans and you've got mortgages and you work two jobs but you're happy, good. The problem is there's so many millions of people just sitting around complaining, and then they go play Madden for 4 hours.
I agree with that.
Right?
I totally agree with that.
Again, I want to clarify this because we had a clip the other day and everyone's like, yeah, okay, whatever, it's all about money, whatever. No. Just to set the record straight, if you are listening and you're complaining, then you got to audit yourself. You can't play ball all day. Like, you gotta work.
You can't watch reality TV all day.
You really can't.
I always tell people, if you're gonna keep on complaining, do something about it.
And here's the thing. Your grandpappy didn't have Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook.
Or Netflix.
He didn't have that either. But Netflix is taking time away. We live in a 24/7 world. You can make money in your underpants when you get back home from your waitress job.
But there's a lot of people that would say how. And the reason I say that is, you know, with you, your dad had a business. And
no
he
question.
Taught you how to.
Well, he didn't.
But a lot of people out there that don't have somebody out there to say, how do you start?
Let's set the record straight. You're right. But when I was 13, my dad worked every minute. I didn't see him. I had entrepreneurial skills. I made $3,000 a weekend selling baseball cards because I had it. How? LeBron has talent, and so he can be one of the greats in the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody could be just good around the way at the park. If he shoots for 10 hours a day, he can be the best version of himself. I'm not saying that everybody who's listening is gonna go make a Billy or go be Zucks or go be Travis. What I am saying is it practical to make an extra 5, 10, 50, 80K now? It is. How? I'm gonna spell it out for you. GOOGLE and type in, how do I make money? How do I start a business? There's a lot of things that you can do. And you know, it's funny, when I think about hip hop and just the context of this a little bit, it's the same DNA as selling cassettes from the back of the trunk. Like, you're either gonna work it or you're not. You're either gonna figure out how to scrap up enough money to get in studio, make something, and then sling it around the way and hope. And if you got talent, you'll be discovered. And back then, Dre or somebody else had to put you on. Now, you put on SoundCloud, you get an Instagram celebrity to put you on, and away you go. So there's a million ways to do it. You know what? Instead of being rah-rah motivation guy, let me go real practical. Let me give you a couple things. You know the dollar store?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Do you know that if you go to the dollar store and you search everything they have in the store on your phone, on eBay, that you will find 7 to 15 items every time that are selling for $5 to $10 a piece on eBay, and you can buy for a dollar right on the spot.
Damn.
So what I would do, if you're listening, is go to the dollar store, go look, take pictures. You got the Amazon app, you can even scan the barcode. It goes even quicker. You find something that's $3 there, you see that's selling consistently, make sure you go to sold items, not what it's listed for. I'm giving you all the details now. Do how I taught my brother how to make money. Wake up at 5 a.m. every Saturday, go garage sailing, buy people's old shit for a buck, and fling it, and make $200, $300, $400, $500, $600, $700, $800 a weekend from garage sailing. Don't watch the Golden State and Spurs game. List that shit on eBay, right? Then you're working 9 to 9, two kids, welfare, like, I don't know, mortgages, student loans, I respect, but it's listed on eBay because, again, you didn't watch the Golden State Warriors game. Now somebody's gonna say, oh, it's all about the money work. No. One more time before we get it too twisted. If you're complaining, if you're unhappy, if you're good, work-life balance, leisure, playing games, going to every movie, good. I'm so happy because listen, I got friends that make $10 million a year. They're miserable as f***.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. The problem is, especially in our community, the black community, is our families, 9 times out of 10, raise us to work 30 years of our life, then retire, and then basically try to live off our retirement, which is not working at all. Nobody, you know, like for my dad never taught me how to make a dollar. He just taught me he worked all his life, and that's what he assumed. My son will have it a little differently.
Yes.
But so for that person that's starting off, I mean, I like the fact that you're giving people ideas because there's a lot of people out there that feel like, all I have is $100. How can I invest?
Exactly.
And they don't know where to go. And they see, well, I can't go in the stock market because if I try buy a McDonald's stock, it's going to be one stock,
one share.
So, I mean, I think that's good. I think people giving people, hey, like you said, go to the dollar store. Put it on eBay. It costs you absolutely positively nothing to do.
But you say everybody's not an entrepreneur.
I went out of college. I was a student. I got these naps, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up in an immigrant family. I was a hustler. I grew up in this community. Let me tell you something about white America, too. 99% of them are taught to go get a job, too. Mm-hmm. That's what school does. Like,
That's bad.
Why do you think I'm trying to get real f***ing loud? Mm-hmm. And I don't care. Like, I'm already good. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind people being like, oh, easy for... Like, that's fine. I'll take all the hate array. I'm thrilled. Mm-hmm. Hate. If I can get three kids texting right now and be like, yo, you hear this Gary V whatever guy? Let's go to the dollar store tomorrow.
Absolutely. All right, we have more with Gary V when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. We have a special guest in the building, Gary V. He's an investor, and he's going to help us figure out how to make more money.
I'll give you another one where you don't even have to leave your home. While you're on the bus for 2 hours, you can do this on your phone. Buy on eBay and repost it on Amazon because more people are buying on Amazon now than eBay. Like a $10 hat on eBay, but it's selling for like $13 consistently on Amazon. Like, there's a million ways to do it. You just gotta decide. People are like, who do you think's gonna win? Who's gonna be the president? I'm like, I don't give a f***. Like, neither one of those two are gonna affect me. Like, you think Trump or Clinton are gonna affect me? I'm gonna get mine, period, regardless.
Okay. I think you said patience is the major thing. Charlamagne said that earlier. I think people don't have patience. Because even what you said, the garage sales, I can see somebody say, well, I gotta buy this for a dollar and I make... And I sell it for $5, all I make is $4, but they don't have the patience.
By the way, they make $260 because eBay's going to take theirs and the post office is going to take theirs. But guess what? It's $260 more than you had.
Right. No, you're right.
Well, let's backtrack a little. You said that neither president is going to affect you. The first thing I can hear people saying is, well, you're white.
And guess what? Let me answer real quick.
Okay.
And they're right. I'm not confused being a white dude in America is the f***ing lotto. The people... I'm serious. Like, if you want me, if you want to know who pisses me off the most on earth,
right?
I actually think that if you're a white dude in America, that you should go to jail if you complain.
Gary V, he's right.
I'm serious, Sean. Because you got
such a head start.
But I'm going to say it right now, right here. In the black community, your mom and dad had it way worse. Your grandparents had it way worse. And I don't even want to go there behind them. We are now in a place because of hip-hop culture, because every white kid, I'm 40, I grew up in it. I got converted. Yo MTV Raps changed my life. There's a lot of brown, black, Asian, like women. I'm making more money on my women entrepreneur. Let's get into the female thing in tech world. That's a whole nother thing. Like, it's easier. You know why? Because the old white dude doesn't control no more. Mm. The internet fixed racism. Internet doesn't give a fuck if you're black, white, transgender from Mars. It's a market. So A, they're right. Yes, it's easier, but let me tell you something else. All the people that just sit behind a computer and buy on eBay and sell on Amazon, Sally in Arkansas, when she buys the Louis Vuitton sweatshirt that you bought for $80 on eBay and she bought it for $90 on Amazon, she doesn't know that you're from Newark.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm practical about this. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm hyped is because I know it's real. And the reason I'm really hyped is I've written 4 books, put out 1 billion videos, and I get emails every day. I lost my parents. Like, sad. Like, forget about racism and gender and all that stuff. Like, people that have it way, like, the worst. They lost it, like, real bad. Mm-hmm. I was in a foster home, like, dumpster when I was 1 year old. I hated life. I did drugs. I was bulimic. I saw a video, went to the dollar store. Yeah. Or I started the Instagram account, and, like, you told me to. Like, we can sit here and talk about macro stuff all day. Here's the punchline. Nobody gives a f***. Mm-hmm. You're right that it's easier to be a white man. The problem is nobody gives a f- if you're from the ghetto transgender with one eye. That's the problem. The market doesn't care.
I like you, Gary V.
I appreciate it.
Gary Vaynerchuk, my guy. My favorite corporate thug motivator, man. Ask Gary V. It's my guy, man.
All right.
It's
The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building who has a top 10 record right now. The homie Kent Jones.
Hola.
He has a joint, Don't Mind. I've been playing it for a long time.
The first time we heard it, actually, our board app is Haitian, so he thought you were Haitian also, and he was very hyped.
I get a lot of those questions. I tell him, you know, I'm Haitian at heart.
You're Haitian at heart.
Yeah.
I've been playing the record for a long time, but you got a story. You were actually homeless. Did they find you on the street?
No, what happened was it was a couple years after the homeless shelter when I moved back to Miami, and I was about 18, 19, and Cool discovered me through some mutual friends we had at the time. Built a relationship. I think Dre was in L.A. for about like a year, and I think after that, Dre came down. You know, Cool was already putting a bug in his ear. You know, it was what it was, and we built, you know, a real relationship over the course of like 4 years.
Now, you're talking Kool & Dre. That's DJ Khaled's partner on this project here.
Yes.
Now, how did you become homeless? Like, homeless? Like, no clothes, no house, homeless?
We're in a shelter. Mm.
So it was with your family?
I was in high school. Right. Yeah, I was in high school, and this is my senior year of high school. And a lot of people didn't even know about it, but me and my mom had fell ill. Mind you, my mom had a master's, and we were in homeless shelters.
Really?
She was fully educated. She had a master's. Mm-hmm. Everything. She fell ill, and she wasn't able to work. We lost the house.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. How long was she ill for? It had to be a long period of time.
6 months.
Yeah, no family. Nobody could help.
Or was it a pride thing where she didn't want to ask for help?
Our family has such a spirit of discernment. Like, we know when we get those calls about what they'll do for us, and then it'll come back later. And it's just, we know our peoples. Right. Like, we understood our peoples. My mom, and the thing is, I didn't understand the reality of the situation until after we moved in there. Mm-hmm. And I had to go and play at these jazz bars and play at these poetry spots and play at these churches and use my gift to help get us out of there.
That must have been a hell of a shell shock. Could you imagine your mom having masters? Obviously, you had some bread because you took piano lessons.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's just taken away and you're in a shelter. And
well, that's what I'm saying. You never know people's circumstances. We worked in the homeless shelter, remember?
Right.
And we met some people there that were brilliant and, you know what I'm saying, had PhDs and everything. Yeah. And sometimes circumstances have you end up someplace. And, you know, that's why it's important that you don't look down on certain situations because you have no idea what happened to that person to get them there.
Never.
And you never wanted to sell drugs or do anything illegal? It's like, you know what, I'm going to do this?
My music was I always had the gift to do it because I started off as a drummer and I was doing that for money, and then I learned piano and I started doing that for money, and then after I studied jazz, I started getting more money doing it. So I was just like, yeah, I don't have no reason to do any of that.
Mm-hmm. So you got out the shelter by doing jazz clubs, doing poetry clubs, doing churches, saving money.
Yeah.
And how did you get discovered? That's what you're telling us.
When I got out of college, it was like my old.
So you still went to college even though you came from a shelter?
I did. I
can't hear no excuses from nobody either. Yeah. Nobody can say they can't do it. This man was in a homeless shelter and still went to college.
Went to college. Mm-hmm. However, a drum major got killed that year in a hazing incident. So the whole program shut down. So I wasn't able to.
So you lost your scholarship?
Lost everything.
Damn it, man. Kent Jones, you can't catch a break, huh?
Done. So I had to stay in my apartment and record every day.
Then when did you end up signing to Fat Joe in the midst of all that?
That was in 2013. He took me in, and some things happened that year, you know, with his life. He had to get some things.
Go to jail?
Yeah. You know, he had to take care of his family. He had to do what he had to do. And I love him so much.
You a fighter, boy. let's really think about it. You were homeless. Then you got a scholarship, you got out, you lost your scholarship.
The program was gone.
Then you got signed. Fat Joe got locked up. Damn it, man.
He's such a real one because he understood. You know, I had to, you know, do what I had to do. He had to do what he had to do.
Right.
And to this day, as you see, he loves me. I love him. He's the real.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the fourth year, I got introduced to Khaled.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also a bloodline brother. It was organic from there with me and Khaled. Khaled was super excited. You know how he is.
Hey, we know.
The big ball of fire energy just...
Was it like an immediate, I definitely want to sign you? Or was
no, it was, I was already signed when I met him. Mm-hmm. It was already a thing. You know, Dre must have given them the proper introduction. I woke up like one Saturday morning and they were on the yacht. And Khaled was like, Kent Jones. I'm like, I figured out what had happened. I met him a couple days after that. We here now.
So you were signed to him before you met him?
Figuratively, yes.
that means it's the family dealings.
Yeah.
Cool, Dre, Khaled, Fat Joe, we all family.
We all
spend
family.
This money around. Now, I'm trying to figure out why you're here today. The reason I'm saying that is Khaled's on tour with Beyonce.
Yeah.
You came out a couple of cities. I would be on Khaled's back right now, opening, and I would be like, I'm opening up for Beyonce.
I know, but you know, I got to be here. with y'all. You know?
So if I need tickets, I can holler at Ken Jones. I ain't got to holler at Khaled.
Yeah. You want to come carry the keyboard?
You can't carry the keyboard. Did you meet Beyonce?
I haven't. I didn't get a chance. I didn't get a chance to.
What about Hov?
I ran into him once.
Okay.
You know, he was with Khaled.
How was that conversation? Or you just kept it humble and say, you know what? I'm not there yet.
It wasn't even that I was there. I just feel like the nature, human nature is if two people are having a conversation and, you know, they acknowledge you, I'm not going to go join that conversation.
Right.
You know, they having a conversation, but he definitely showed, you know, me love, showed me respect. Shout out to everybody that did the Atlanta dates. That was awesome. That was crazy.
What has the feedback been since you've been performing and opening up and doing some of the shows with Khaled and Beyonce?
I can say this. Every date I was at, they knew the whole song. Backwards and forward.
Mm.
I love the arenas way more than the clubs. I decided.
You're talking 60,000 compared to two.
And then you got to think about it too, Envy. You got to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
The club is full of the guys that stand up on the wall.
Right.
They trying to pose for the shorties.
Right.
They trying to put on for the... The fans are at the arena for the entertainment.
Right.
That's what they're there for. It's no distractions. It's no nothing. It's like a focused crowd.
Right.
So that's why I like
it. So what's the plan for Ken Jones now? You have a huge, you know, debut single that we've all been hearing.
I've been playing it first for about five, six months now.
Big shout
just
out
to throw that out there.
I see
this one coming
DJ
a long
Envy.
Time.
Nah.
And you know the song almost didn't make the album.
Yeah.
Well, they said this was the weakest song that he has. They said he has way better songs.
This is their weakest song?
Let's just put it like this. We didn't know this song was going to be the single.
See? That's good.
Yeah, we didn't know. So we have a lot more music.
Ken Jones is in the building. You keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. The Breakfast Club. Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne Tha God.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Ken Jones is in the building. You got your keyboard.
What's your keyboard in here?
Well, I want to say one thing.
You know,
I want to tell you some disrespect.
The first time I met Ken Jones?
He came to the club to perform, and I didn't know who he was,
right? Uh-oh. And he probably tried to make you get off the stage.
No. So Khaled and J1s called me. They was like, yeah, he came. I said, yeah, he came. It was like, how'd he do? I was like, yeah, he did cool. It's like, what do you think? I said, y'all got to clean him up, man, because he came out like he rolled out of bed, right? That's what I tell him. I said, you came like you rolled out of bed.
He did.
They told you that?
Yeah.
Damn it, man. They wasn't supposed to tell you that. Right,
well,
they was like, really? I was like, yeah. I was like, yo. I said, yo, he has a big record. You got to make him a star. They was like, all right. Next time I seen him, whole different Ken Jones.
You want to know something, though? And this is why I appreciate my OGs, Kool & Dre and Khaled, because I had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about them doing it. You know, I had to do it. And as time progressed, you know, I was able to give thanks. You know, now I'm looking at other goals, other things I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as what they did, I appreciate them. And I wouldn't change anything about this process, Envy, because it's, you know, it wasn't anybody jumping in front of me. It wasn't any extreme hype. Mm-hmm. It wasn't no features. It wasn't no superstar producers producing my song. And it was just organic. Because it's crazy. Like that night when I saw you at, what was it?
It was Euro. Yep.
I was looking like I rolled out of bed.
But everybody
was singing the words to the song.
That's the beautiful part. Like, this is not him singing.
This is not him singing it. Look at this guy right here.
I thought I was going to see flies. I said, I said, you got to fix him up, man.
Right.
Next time I seen him fixed up, I said, okay, there's the star in him right there.
Nah. I embraced that. I embraced that part of my journey.
They wasn't supposed to tell you. Thanks, Khaled and J1.
I embraced that.
You didn't think that they should have told him that?
Now, I said he looked like he just walked out of bed.
You understand. You know, you always one of the people I looked up to, you know?
That's what it is.
So that's cool. You could have told me that personally.
I didn't know you at that point. Now you know me.
Yeah, I think we had that issue.
Right.
The first time I didn't know him. But anyway, you got the keyboard here.
So you think he's cute now?
Why would you ask him if you think? Do you think I'm cute?
I'm just asking Envy because he's the one that has some criticism.
Hey,
yo, shut up.
So Envy. I gotta say, you know, in the absence of Charlamagne, I know he'd appreciate this. I brought my keyboard.
Okay.
Because you know I'm an artist and there's a lot of artists, but you know I want to show the separation of me from a lot of guys that claim musicianship and don't play no instrument.
We like that.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to come up here and tell you I'm a musician and I don't play no instrument. This is not who I am. It's not who I am. That's not educating the kids properly. This is the right way.
Well, Ken Jones is in the building. You got your keyboard. So what do you want to do with this keyboard?
Okay. I figure we can make it interesting.
Right? All right. R.I.P. Can we do some prints?
Okay. Let's hear it.
I mean, I'm sorry to compare you to a genius. You know, I didn't have to play a genius's record. See where this is going.
You hear that?
I could get another one. All right. See if you can F with Alicia Keys.
It's a battle.
Show off, damn. All right, let me see.
Woo! That's little Stevie. I don't know if you're up on this, young boy.
Stop, man.
Uh-oh. That sounds like Swiper the Fox.
See, we got some Fedora the Explorer.
Swiper!
Why are you most excited about this?
All right, swipe and stuff, swipe.
Okay,
Dora. All right, Ken Jones. Oh, man. Well, we appreciate you joining us. Now, you got to leave on something of yours or something that without playing anything. I mean, you got the keyboard.
Found out that being satisfied doesn't always promise satisfaction. The happy girls to me are mad attractive. The ones that play it aggressive here just not as active. The ones that talk about sex the most really not as active. There's all the orgasm with passion but show no compassion. I had delivery before contraction. You know delivery with no contractions. While I'm birthing a new sound, you're busy trying to match it. I like my females like my emails, no attachments. I'm the one they all fear when it's all said and done. They hear it all if it was said at once. You telling people I know about how you feel about me. The way you hate, they won't believe you only met me once. Hate my attitude and tell me why you still around me. Cause if you able to tell me what someone else says, then how come they so comfortable talking about me around family? I swear some of the quiet ones really the loudest. Rather keep it real than just keeping it shouted. Fake is fake, Great Wall of China, there's no way around it. A lot of my doubters hate it, but now they all the proudest. I'm as old as your child is, but to me you just childish. I guess the PR is just another word for your stylist. Boy, you clever, boy, I know you clever. They hating on me cause they all know I could go forever. I read you before you fold, open letter. Strong opinions and no resume to back it up, don't go together. Yo, it's sound like broken records, never broke a record. Told you long ago who I was and what it was I'm here to do. I guess you ain't believe me, but you can smile all day. But trying to talk me out, my gut feeling is not as easy. I heard the publicists have a hard time learning to have a personal life. Uh-oh, I know somebody took that personal, right? I ain't got no time to focus on whatever you do wrong. I got too many verses to write. Hey, oh.
I knew Evie was gonna beatbox at some point.
I
couldn't wait.
I'm sorry. Kent Jones, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely. Appreciate y'all having me, man.
And it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning, man. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Angela Yee just walked out during
That's
the
so
interview.
Disrespectful, That's man. So disrespectful. You see how your friends treat you? You see how your friends treat you, Donnell?
She just walked out during your interview.
She
intro.
Wouldn't have did that to nobody else. Being that y'all cool, she just walked out on
she
you.
She don't even care about
hey,
you.
Hey, Donnell.
How you doing?
We have Donnell Rawlings in the building.
Why you saying with no enthusiasm in your voice at all, man?
I said, hey, Donnell.
No, Envy, every time I come to the studio, man, it's never no, like, what's up? That's my man's night. It's always negative.
It's exciting.
It's
not
negative. It's always negative. Charlamagne, I saw you. You introduced yourself to me with 5 condoms on your finger.
It was only three.
It was all 3 of them.
All 3.
3 condoms on your finger. You squirted some type of Visit fluid on my back.
No, I didn't.
You know what I'm saying? Envy was in the middle of a dead sleep.
He squirted on you?
And Angie went outside.
Well, I was throwing something in the garbage, so I wanted to clean up for you, so it looked nice.
Donnell was telling us about his latest arrest.
Donnell, you gotta stop doing it. First of all,
you got arrested again?
You gotta stop doing drugs and alcohol, Donnell.
First off, drugs is your interpretation. I'm live in California where people call it medicating yourself.
Okay.
And you can get a license for those things that you're saying are drugs that some people need for municipal purposes.
Okay.
We actually brought you here for an intervention.
At the airport.
I was going through TSA at Newark Airport, and I had a bottle of water in my bag.
Okay.
Mm. A bottle of water in my bag alerted the TSA agent to check my bag.
Gotcha.
And she found some medication that I had in my bag.
How much did you have?
2 grams of medication.
2 grams of medication.
Not
for marijuana. Yeah.
You yeah. make too much money to be flying with 2 grams.
It was a short trip, man.
You should have put it in your
butt. That's a couple.
No, I'm gonna be quite honest. It was 2 grams, and I had to go through the whole process of being what do they call it?
Arrested.
Detained.
Yeah, detained.
Did they strip search you?
They didn't strip search me. I was a little upset because
you
I was trying
to get strip searched.
I didn't want to get strip searched. I wanted the processing to go a lot faster than what it was. So the police officer, they forced me to...
What did they force you to do, Donnell?
They forced me to quote phrases from Chappelle's show.
Like,
really?
What?
What do you mean?
I'm rich, bitch.
So, say it with some feeling. Did they tell you to say it with some feeling?
No, they wanted me to say it like enthused, but I didn't feel that way. I feel like I was in a movie 5 Heartbeats.
Right, when they got stopped on the bus and the cops pulled them over and
I felt like a tear was going to drop, and I wanted them to process me quicker, so I said, I'm rich, bitch, and they processed me in like 2 hours, and I got a chance to go do my show that night.
Mm. How many times did you have to say it?
I think it was 6 times.
No, you like a mini Cat Williams on the low.
No, I'm not. Cat
you a mini Cat Williams,
Cat Williams got locked up 9 times in a 7-day week. Nobody can beat that record.
Nah, you're right.
I think you could.
You about 3 to 4 on the
so
year.
So far, we've seen you DUI.
It wasn't a DUI. It wasn't a DUI.
We've seen you outside the restaurant.
What was it then, Donnell?
It was an AID. Punch.
It was an AID.
What's an AID?
My lawyer told me it's equivalent to getting like a traffic summons. That's what it was.
What's the acronym for AID, though?
I don't know. No black people know what the acronyms mean.
You know what AID mean? AID mean Ashy is drunk. Okay? That's what that means.
Give me some crickets right now.
That's what that means.
And then now this latest arrest.
It wasn't. It was an incident, and it was okay because I am a licensed medicator in California, so I brought that to court.
What type of license?
And it was dismissed. It's a
medical marijuana license.
Yeah.
But why? Like, what kind of stress do you have?
Well, y'all aware of an incident I had in Philadelphia a while ago. I threw a right overhand right.
That wasn't a punch.
It was an overhand right. It was overhand right.
An attempted punch.
It was overhand right. And I heard you on the rail telling everybody I got knocked out. I didn't get knocked out. I slipped, son. I didn't get knocked out. And you was doing it in slow motion. They say your man went in. I slipped. It was not a knockout. But in that melee, I threw a right punch, and I hurt my left shoulder. So that's one of the reasons why.
How you hurt your left shoulder?
You threw your right arm.
That's old age, son. That's old age. And when y'all called me, everybody was like, "You sounded sad." The only reason I sound like that because I was on the air. I was on a flight.
Okay.
I was on a flight, and I couldn't really talk the way I wanted to talk. So I had to whisper. But y'all made it seem like I was under witness protection. You know what I'm saying? I was going
to
be in isolation forever. But
you held it down, that little peach, though, bro.
I appreciate that.
You did.
You held it down.
Thank you. You held it down, too, sir.
What is Austin going to say when he grows up?
No, you held it down. You have the world's most famous interview, shortest interview in history that made the most noise everywhere, son. Everywhere I went, everybody was talking about putting some respect on my name.
Mm-hmm.
I was at an African restaurant in Brooklyn, and they, the funniest thing to hear somebody tell a story that don't know what the story was. You know, no, it was a Jamaican restaurant, right? I'm like, what happened? They said, yeah, the chicken man come up on the dinner club. I was like, chicken man, you mean bird man? He said, yeah, I don't know what type of bird it was. The chicken man come up and try to mosh up the place. And I was like, what happened? He said, yeah, the man don't want to put no respect under my name.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, everywhere I went, they was talking about respect. Yeah, put some respect on the blue clot, respect on it. And they called you Charlemagne the Jah, because you know God the Jah is everything, right?
Yeah.
I said, what happened? Charlemagne the Jah didn't want to put the respect under my name.
And I saw you put up a lot of three tree emojis also after that.
I just got shot.
I was like, what happened? I just saw you drop.
I thought I was in Philly again, so I thought the white people was coming at me again. I'm like, y'all let them in. Yeah, now I thought it was funny. It was interesting. It was funny. Looking at that situation, I looked at the tape a million times, and I'm like, what? How can someone get that upset? And I've been in situations in my life where you get so mad, you don't know what word's going to come out.
You know what
I'm saying? Like, even when I was in Philly with the incident I had, I said some things. I was like, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? You say things you don't really feel. Like, and I understand when Birdman came here, it was like I had 1,000 words I wanted to say. But I only got 10 seconds to say them, so they're going to come out any kind of way.
Those words work for him, though. He got 3 different T-shirts. Yeah. I ain't going to say it no more. Put respect on my name.
All trillia.
That was so funny.
And he got a song and a video and everything.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm telling people to put some respect on my name.
All right, well, we got more with Donnell Rawlins when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Donnell Rawlins in the building.
What do you think of the North Carolina transgender law?
Why are you asking that question of all questions?
Because we were talking about transgenders last time he was here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's like the whole transgender, some people consider it a movement. Mm-hmm. Some people consider it like a way of life. It's for, if you didn't grow up understanding what transgender meant,
Which a lot of us didn't, or
the psychological part of it, because we think like, nah, you just shouldn't dress like that. You know, psychologically, some people think the other people. I don't care who goes in what bathroom. Like in Asia, they had co-ed bathrooms. My only understanding, like if you, like whatever bathroom, you should have the voice for the bathroom.
The voice, okay.
The voice.
You can't be in the girls' bathroom like, yo, is anybody in that stall?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta at least sound like a woman.
Like Michael Jackson could have used the woman's restroom.
He could have.
And you can't be in the men's restroom standing next to him at a urinal like, hey, can you move over? You almost done?
I mean, it's a possibility, but like, you know, when we was doing Geico, one of the things was like, you don't use peripheral vision. That's urinal
what kind
encroachment.
Of vision?
Peripheral.
Like this. Your peripheral? Side vision.
Straight ahead.
Like if Charlemagne was like in the stall next to my brother right now, it would probably take every muscle in my brother's body not to look over.
Your brother but probably wouldn't that. Use his head to look down, but he'll move his eyes down.
Well, does your brother still have a crush on Charlemagne? Your brother's gay. Does he
He's over him.
He don't have a crush on him anymore.
He's
that was like
him.
2 years ago.
Oh, that's over.
When he first started, yeah.
He don't like my new face.
I don't know. He don't dig that. I don't know why he fell
like
out.
Charlemagne.
Whatever, but he doesn't. What I mean, happened? In his words, he was like, I don't f*** with him like that no more. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't go back and ask your brother why. You know what I'm saying?
That means
what
he
happened?
Probably, he
what
probably hit it already.
Does he know about this? You know what I'm saying?
But he probably hit it already.
You don't ask that question.
Yeah,
only thing, that's what you say, like, all right, true. Keep it moving, son.
Hey,
now, let me
look
at these
no
notes
doubt.
Of questions for Donnell. I'm going to ask you some questions off of here. You served in the United States Air Force.
4 years.
What made you transition to comedy?
That sounds so corny, son.
Horrible.
I know.
But I'm surprised you can't fight.
You was in the Air Force for real?
Hold on, son. Why you talking about I can't fight, son? Did you see me lose a fight, son?
In Philly.
No, you were
saw
on the
a different,
ground.
Son, you saw a different tape than the tape I saw.
The tape I saw
me being in the spot. I saw me holding myself down. I saw somebody
Stop
trying to.
The table.
Because you disrespect.
Nah, but I just,
yo, I feel like Birdman now.
Your fighting technique was dope, though.
Was it?
You threw a punch.
Right.
And then you backed up and fell on your back, which totally startled the
I
dude.
I didn't fall.
Oh,
the dude
you.
Was like, whoa.
No, I dipped, son. When I swung on one dude, I was like this. Blinker, blinker, blacker, blacker.
You didn't throw that many punches. It wasn't no blinker,
yo,
blacker,
and then when I look, I was like, blinker, blacker, blacker.
Nah.
And then I ducked like.
I didn't see none of that.
You didn't see that.
You threw a blink.
I was like this. I said, sup. And
no.
then I went back like this. I went back like this. When I came back, a whole bunch of people tried to approach me. And then I was getting in my defensive stand. And then that's when I slipped, son.
Now, Danielle, I'm going to tell you what made me feel bad. Because when I saw the video first, I was like, aha, look at Danielle. But then I was like, okay, this is awful. I know Danielle
would never. No, you didn't do that. All of y'all said I got knocked out.
Okay, but I felt bad about it. At first, I didn't. And then I felt bad. You know why?
Why?
Because then your girl got on Twitter and Instagram, and she was like, this is awful. That's right. Danielle has a girl at home and a baby who's looking at this tape and is like,
yeah, but do you think...
Look at my man.
You can look at it that way.
And I felt terrible.
You can look at it that way, but you can also look at it like anything. You know, I'm not proud of that situation.
Right.
But it's the things that contributed to me, what I consider defending myself. I felt violated. Somebody was being disrespectful to me, and I didn't throw the first punch in that situation. They threw the first punch, and what I had to do is defend myself. So if my son and my lady see that, then I'm proud of
she
that.
The best part
upset.
About that tape was when your foot was in the air, though. That was the part I kept looking at. I was like, yo, you see his foot in the air?
My foot was... If you look at it...
That's a movie fall.
That is.
But that's a classic trained actor fall.
You got to look at it in slow motion. It clearly shows that I did not get knocked out.
I
defended myself.
You knocked yourself out.
No, you sit back up, man. That's what happens. When you fall down, just get back up. And I was happy that you got back up. You went and got your backpack.
We fall down, but we get up, Donnell.
I got up strong, so I came
you
and
did,
I came back
and I'm
strong.
I'm not mad at that.
I didn't know you was in the Air Force for real.
Yeah, I was in the Air Force.
How did you
yeah.
not know that?
You got what? You got kicked out?
That's so racist, man. That's so racist. He didn't even say what my job was. He just said, what happened? I didn't get kicked out. I had 4-year enlistment. My enlistment was up, and I got out.
Yeah. You just don't seem like the type that could be in the military. Like
I wasn't. That's why I got out.
Yeah, I don't think you take direction well.
I didn't. That's why I got out.
Yeah.
Like they got what they call LOR. It's a letter of reprimand. Mm-hmm. It's like a disciplinary action, and I had so many of those in there. Like I stayed. I got in a lot of trouble in the Air Force. I remember every Monday I would get the same thing from like one of my supervisors. Airman Rawlins, your blatant disregard shows a lack of military bearing and judgment. What do you have to say for yourself? And I wouldn't say anything. Every week I got in trouble for the same thing.
They gave you a gun?
I was a cop in the military.
What? He was a 5-0, though?
I
wasn't that time. I was
a pig, bro?
I was a step over rent-a-cop, son. I was a step over rent-a-cop. I was the worst cop ever. I made one arrest in a 4-year enlistment, one arrest, and it was because a girl came through there and had some nice breasts, and I was like, pull over. I didn't have no police car or nothing. I just made the noise. We pull over, and that was the only arrest I had 4 years.
So how you went from being a cop to a life of crime?
I didn't have a life of crime. I've had a life of challenge.
Got you.
Yeah. Okay. I call it a life of challenge.
All he has is one LOR and one AID.
LOR, AID. That's it.
All right, well, we got more with Donnell Rawlins when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Donnell Rawlins in the building.
Now, I saw you on TMZ. You said you don't feel like Larry Wilmore should have used the N-word at the White House.
Right.
Why you don't think he was the guy? He's a comedian.
I know, but every comedian don't have the voice to be able to pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when I watch it, Larry Wilmore, and if you don't know his history, the creative mindset behind the Bernie Mac show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he associated himself with some strong brothers, some, like, solid brothers that the hood represented. No disrespect to Larry. But to pull that phrase off, it has to be with passion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People think, I think it was a situation where him and the writer sat down and it's like, you want to go viral, you want to make some noise, and
right.
you say this. Because if you look at it, he was trying to explain in a way how the word is endearing to some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But you can't.
It was a setup.
It was a setup. You can't start your sentence off with, like, you're trying to keep it real. You say, hey, Barry. All right, Barry, the only people used to call President Barack Obama Barry were white people that did not want to pronounce the ethnic name.
Yeah.
You know, they was like, okay, what's close to Barack, Barry? My brother's name is Dawu, and his teachers did the same thing to him.
What did they used to call him?
David.
Okay.
And my mother used to go to school, you know, this is his name. So to call him Barry, that's just like, that's kind of sending a start. And then to look at him and be like, yo, you my nick. It just don't have.
It didn't. It seems
like,
scripted.
I'm not mad at the message.
Yeah.
I'm mad at the messenger.
Got you.
Now, if it was a BET Awards or something like that, and DMX grabbed the mic and just said, you my nick, that would be something totally different.
Right.
But Larry Wilmore, again, not to discredit him, he's a funny guy, but he just wasn't the right person. That was almost like if Wayne Brady would have went up there and did it. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't seem like that's something Larry Wilmore would say in his normal conversation, and he don't rock.
He doesn't
like
use that anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. You're from D.C., right?
Yeah.
Have you ever been invited to the White House?
I haven't been invited to the White House, but I had a signed letter from the White House from Barack Obama and Michelle Obama for my son's interest into the world. Reggie Love, who used to be Barack Obama's right-hand man, it was his body man for years. He's a good friend of mine. And as a
Barack had a dude that used to catch bodies?
Yeah, body. No, nah, it's just like
Reggie Love used somebody, to be with him all the time, play ball together.
Yeah,
and
play
stuff.
Ball. You know, he shadowed him. He was like his assistant. He gave, he had them sign a letter from the White House for my baby shower gift to him. So that's I haven't been to the White House, but I know my name is popping in the White House.
Okay.
They know you in there.
I'm going to tell you, real talk, because Chappelle went to the White House first time like 6 months ago. He was like, the most interesting thing about being in the White House was how many people that knew me. He was like, everybody was like, where's Ashy Larry? You know,
really?
So, yeah, I got a feeling when.
Dana, are you serious?
I'm telling the truth.
They asked for you when Dave Chappelle was there?
Dave Chappelle will tell you that when he went to the White House, people in there was like, yo, where's Ashy Larry? Why are you doing all this disrespectful
stuff, man? I'm trying to figure out why you got this. What is this calendar you got that you bought in here? What is this, son?
What is that?
Y'all
calendar?
Need to stop this.
What are you
this
doing,
is
bro?
Something that ain't got nothing to do with me. That's Angela Yee.
Hey, y'all need to stop that.
Yo, y'all don't have no respect for me, son. Put some respect on my name, man.
I mean, his light skin on there, so
this is setup. He told me to make a music video.
Oh, he made you make a music video?
About my gay man idea for a music video. Because this is my man's in them.
Right.
And the two definitions of man's is somebody's with you through thick and thin.
Gotcha.
And you got your man's, then you got your man's.
No, not
like, that's my man's, but that's my man's.
Gotcha.
And that's how we communicate with each other. We say, yo, you hear Charlamagne? Oh, that's my man's. You hear God's name? That's my man's. So he was like, Donnell, you know what? You should turn something positive into your Philadelphia incident. I was like, I got an idea for a video. And then I didn't want to listen to what he had to say. You know what I'm saying? I was waiting for him to say something whack so I could say, nah. I was waiting for him to say, like, I wanted him to say something whack, so I'm like, do you do comedy? But the idea he gave me, it was a genius idea. I was like, I got to do something with the whole song. And he was like, you should do a video about, like, a woman that used to go out with you, but she don't want to go out with you no more because she heard you got knocked out on tape. Yeah, right. I eliminated the knockout part.
Yeah.
You know, but I took his premise and I made a video for it, and he told me, he's like, I got you when it come out. He said, I'm going to tweet it. I don't even ask for tweets.
I did retweet it.
I don't even ask for tweets no more. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I don't even ask for tweets no more. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I used to be like this, yo, tag me on it, but that's real sensitive. The social media world.
Right, yeah.
You tell somebody tag and they don't tag, they be waiting outside like, yo, what happened to that?
Absolutely.
Yo, and then they'll tag you like, I gave you a hashtag. No, you said you was going to tag it.
Donnell, so, I retweeted that Hotline Bling video,
he
man.
He did not.
I did.
It's okay.
I never seen it, so I'm sure he
and
did.
And you didn't tweet it?
You didn't ask me.
And you didn't tweet it.
I know I tweeted that video out.
When did you send it to me to tweet?
I sent it to you when I was finished.
Oh.
I'm tweeting it out right
everybody
now.
Everybody
don't
know. Everybody, I'm gonna now.
Oh, you know what? I'm not following you. Let me follow you again.
You don't follow Donnell?
Yo, that's totally disrespectful,
son. That's so crazy. Why don't you follow him?
I did retweet you.
And I'll be liking on your pictures, too, son.
I'm gonna follow you right now.
I'll be liking on mad at your pictures, Envy.
I'm going to follow you right now.
Hey, Envy, I be liking on your pictures that make me mad in my life, son.
You can't like a man. You can't like more
when
than...
When a dude posts a picture like, yeah, it might bring one of the cars out, you don't want to like on that. You don't want like on that, but you got like on it. Let them know that you still
You
good.
Know if you like a man's picture more than three times, that's flirting.
I've never done that.
That's
my
like
brother,
being in the bathroom
my brother
peeing
stay
and shaking
on your time. He stay on your time now. I'm not doing that.
I'm
not doing more than three likes at a time, son.
All right, well, we got more with Donnell Rawlins when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That's right. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. We have Donnell Rawlins in the building. You want to holler? 800-585-1051. Now, Yee?
Why didn't you bring your son up here, Austin?
I don't know.
I was so looking forward to you
I really,
him.
You know what? It was a thought. I was going to bring him up, but I don't know. It was early. And he woke up with a big ass smile on his face, too.
Oh, he did. So he wanted to come.
Every morning he wake up. This is how I know he's going to be a comedian. This is important. This is how I know he's going to be a comedian. Every morning he wake up. He gets up, he yawns. I mean, he's trying to get stuff together. He look at me and he do like this. And that's his second laugh. He like this. I know he's gonna be a comedian. I want him to be a comedian. I'm gonna push him. He gotta do something funny.
It's right. Gonna be hard if for him though. His daddy's Donnell Rawlins, man.
Wait, how old is he now? He's only one.
He's 9 months.
Right. So you're gonna push him already?
I'm pushing him. You know how much pressure I put on Peekaboo?
Peekaboo.
When we do peekaboo, if he don't laugh on the boo part, he got to go back to the drawing board. if his boos and his peeks are off, he got to go back to the drawing board. I want him to be, I'm not saying I want him to be a comedian, but I want him
to be funny.
Like, right. If he's a doctor, he better be a funny doctor. I want him to be funny. I'm telling you, if my son is not funny, it would be disappointing the same way probably Magic Johnson looks at EJ's Instagram.
You think that Magic Johnson's upset funny? About his son?
Hell yeah, he's upset.
Listen, what if your son's gay funny?
He better be the funniest gay dude out there.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you think Magic Johnson's disappointed in EJ?
I didn't say disappointed. I didn't say disappointed, but I don't care what nobody say, it has to hurt. I'm not saying take away from you don't love him, it has to hurt. I mean, I know he wanted his son in basketball shorts and not booty shorts.
I can see why you said that.
You know what I'm saying? I know he wanted him to be dunking on people and not dipping on people. You know what I'm saying?
It'd be different if little EJ was small. But the fact that he's so big.
Yeah, he's the same size.
He's 6'4", 6'5".
No, he's 4.
That's perfect, though. He's very modest.
I'll just put it this way. My dad has accepted my brother's lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I know as a man, like, he wasn't accepting of it.
Yeah.
But it grew on him or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I will say, one thing that I respect from my brother is that he's not wearing the same clothes that his sister be wearing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
you know what I'm saying? It's for some people, that's like, you know, that's just like a different feeling.
He's still manly,
you're
saying.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know, keep it real with us. You know what I'm saying? My son, he's going to have some type of humor in him, some kind of way.
Okay.
Well, we appreciate you joining us.
You don't appreciate me coming here, Amber.
Yeah, why you shut down now like that?
Y'all don't even come to the door for me. Every time, look, social media.
I was looking up your video to retweet it.
Oh, you want to retweet it now?
I thought you retweeted it.
I did retweet it, but I was going to do it again
I don't even want to tweet now.
Let me do it, too.
I feel like Bird now. I don't know what it is. I don't even want to tweet. Is you finished or is you done?
I see your son was ashy, too. I saw some.
Damn.
What, ye?
Yeah, he is. I will say, whenever I try to put lotion on, he start crying. I ain't going to cry. He start crying. That's my dude, though.
Well, it's the Breakfast Club. It's Donnell Rollins.
Charlamagne, say the gang, dunk it, utter Charlamagne.
You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
It's the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Tuesday goes to Governor Rick Snyder of Michigan. Now, if you haven't heard, it's a water crisis in Flint, Michigan, ladies and gentlemen. The reason it's a water crisis is because Governor Rick Snyder made a political decision to provide the citizens of Flint, Michigan, with polluted water from the Flint River. Okay, the move was made as a cost-cutting move while the city was under the control of a state-appointed emergency manager. The State Department of Environmental Quality is required.
It's crazy.
To add corrosion chemicals to the water, and they failed to do that, so it caused a lot of health problems in children. A lot of lead from pipes and fixtures leached into the water. 10 people have been killed in Flint because of this, and the blood of those individuals falls directly on the hands of Governor Rick Snyder and government officials in Flint, Michigan. Okay, since when is cutting costs more important than preserving human life? I'll tell you when. It's when the human life is majority African-American and 41% of the people live below the official poverty line. Don't nobody care about poor folks, okay? This has been going on since April of 2014. Residents have complained about the smell, taste, and appearance of the water. Residents started having health concerns. They reported rashes, hair loss, and other problems. In the summer, it was positive tests for coliform bacteria. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds disgusting, okay? In October, General Motors engine plant stopped using the water, saying it rusted parts. It was clear that it was a problem, okay? And government officials ignored it, and now it's too late, okay? The quality director of the Department of Environmental Quality, Dan Wyant, resigned and apologized for what occurred in Flint. How can you apologize for the lifelong health problems these residents of Flint are going to face? How you just going to apologize to the families who lost people due to this crisis? You just going to say, my bad? Is human life ever going to mean more to the government than money will? Now, I understand Dan Wyant resigned because somebody has to take the fall, but he's not the only one who should resign, okay? He wasn't the one trying to cut costs for the city, okay? Governor Rick Snyder, that was you. You're the sole controller of that whole situation. If anyone should resign, it should be you. Now, President Barack Obama has signed an emergency declaration, and he ordered federal aid for Flint. He did that on January 16th. Okay, that's great and all, but this has been going on since April 2014. Governor Snyder, you didn't ask the president to step in until January 14th of this year. You care about the people so much that you waited damn near 2 years to help. Is that what you call leadership? Is that what you call concern? Is that what you call caring? People were killed. Okay, you assisted in the killing of these people, Governor Rick Snyder. I saw filmmaker Michael Moore speaking on this situation, and he agrees that these people were killed. Let's hear what he had to say.
The water infrastructure of this city has been destroyed, and it's been destroyed by the governor of this state. This is not a natural disaster. This is not a mistake. 10 people have been killed because of the Legionnaires' disease now that has broken out here. And I want the media to please use the word killed. If it was 10 people killed in a tornado, you'd say 10 people were killed.
Absolutely.
10 people were killed here because of a political decision.
That's right.
To save money.
That's right.
And risk the lives of people here in a city that is majority African American, where 41% live below the official poverty line.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, what happens when people get killed? When people get killed, usually charges are brought up against the killers, right? Well, that's what needs to happen to Governor Rick Snyder and everybody involved in this premeditated murder, because that's what it is. When you make a conscious political decision to provide the citizens of Flint, Michigan with polluted water, knowing the possible consequences, knowing that people could possibly die, you need to be held accountable for that, period. Okay, Governor Rick Snyder should be forced to resign, and charges need to be brought up against him. Give Governor Rick Snyder the biggest hee-haw, please. It's quite simple to me.
He damned his ass.
I mean, you make a conscious decision to give people polluted water, knowing that the polluted water could possibly kill them. That means you're assisting in murder. That's premeditated murder, if you ask me.
Stupid decision.
And we still don't know the repercussions of what's going to happen years and decades from now.
People might have three. People be born with three eyes. They might start growing horns out their heads. Who knows?
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
D-Ray, the difference maker, Davis.
Yes.
D-Ray.
I get to be a special guest today. Thank you.
You know what I keep wondering, D-Ray? Like, you have been the most popular D-Ray for a long time, but then the activist came along.
Oh, D-Ray. He snapped off. But before we get into that, I must say she looks beautiful.
She looked like she on
Love
& Hip Hop.
She looked good.
She looked different.
On Empire? Hey, Empire? You look good. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, you know.
I got some new hair from her import. You know.
No, it's more. It ain't just the hair. You look good. I'm sorry. I can't not.
She glowing?
Say she look. Yeah.
I also have
you
a
look,
tan. I was in Miami. Oh, last
tan. The complexion.
Got a little tan.
You came in today.
Stop downplaying it. That was all right. Now we good. D-Ray, I had to get that flirt out. I had to get that flirt off.
D-Ray, I never shot my shot at you before. Now, D-Ray has tapped the industry, by the way.
No, man.
Well, no,
half is heavy, man.
He has two girlfriends.
Half includes a lot. Yeah, I have. Yes, I'm very, very committed.
You got two girlfriends?
Yeah, you know. I've been talked about this 100 times. You don't listen to me.
You know what?
All you do is call people fat, say who ugly, irritate rappers. That's all you like to do. Like, if D-Ray ain't been irritated, he'll remember it.
Too busy talking, he don't listen.
How do you have two girlfriends?
Well, you know, sometimes you have a debt. You have been single? No, you ain't been single in a long time. I just thought, but you've been had a wife since third grade. he came out the womb with a ring on. he came out with a family behind him. What happens is you when you're single, man, I was single for a long time, but then you meet people that you've been liking, and then you're dating two different people at the same time. You're dating,
right.
And then who do you tell? Yo, I don't want to date you no more. I'm going to try this. Do you tell a person to go in the waiting room? Mm-hmm. No. So what I did is I decided to be honest. Instead of getting my windows busted and car scratched up, and I said, hey, I want to try something. I don't know if it's not, you know, it ain't the usual program. We going to get ridiculed. People going to talk stuff. But most men got two girlfriends anyway. They just don't say it.
Right. And it worked? Like, y'all go out together? Y'all
go out together. We're friends.
Like best friends. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Man, you're my new hero. Wow.
We're friends,
so y'all
man.
Must not have ever watched Living With Funny on Oxygen.
And that show alone caused a lot of, like, hectic stuff, because when it was just us and people assuming what it might be, but once you go on TV and say this what it is, you know what I mean, with two people who don't really, like, she's more into, like, TV and acting because she comes from that world of hosting and she was in pageant and stuff, but Coco's more like she's a Long Beach chick. She don't really care about no TV. You know, people start saying different stuff. You know, get the pimp. You a pimp. You a player. And them ain't the words you want. You know, it's like when you with your girl and somebody like, dang, another one. You like, no, it's the same one, same girl. So yeah, man.
And y'all live together?
Yeah.
Wow, dude. Yeah.
They have a whole show about it. Living With Funny is what it's like to live with a comedian.
Yeah, me, Brandon T. Jackson, Michael Blackson. Well, it's called Live With Funny, but I'm the only funny dude on it. me and some poets on there. No, I'm kidding.
So wait a minute. Y'all stay in the same room or y'all split them up? It's like one side, and you...
No, they've always since... We in the same, yeah, we in the same, it's like same bed? Yeah. But
you
everybody need that. No, man, we don't.
That's what I'm asking. Like,
no.
Wing. Like, you know,
of course this they is do.
No. We actually don't have. I've never, ever had a threesome with them.
It's going to happen.
Well, man, you know, I have pushed, I've asked subliminally, I've, you know what I'm saying? But you can't force people in that kind of situation. It's like trying to force your music on people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People got to love the rhythm of it before they love it. You know what I mean?
Just like sister wives.
Yeah, they come. Everybody comfortable.
As a woman, it's hard to put a cap on it though. We already living together and we eating together and we a family. We might as well have sex together.
Yeah, you. I mean, I hear you, brother.
It sounds good.
I'm right there with you.
Well, now why can't that? Now listen, why can't that be enough? Okay, we're all of us are gonna live together. We're in a great relationship. Why do you have to take it that step?
And if you don't push, you know, if you don't push nothing on nobody, I feel like, man, honestly, men lie so much, man. We lie so much that when we start telling the truth, it's going to surprise women, and this is going to happen a lot more, like.
Yeah. Isn't there a ball player? Who's a ball player that has the two?
Well, they always say Lou Wing, but I haven't seen his girls. I don't know his situation. I don't know if he got good girls. I don't know if they was. Because a lot of dudes got two girls. Sometimes they be two strippers, or they be two.
If it's time to get married.
But you got to have two legit. Look, if gay people are able to marry each other, I should be able to marry my two girlfriends.
Right. Polygamy should be legal. I don't understand that. Like, that bugs
if
me
gay,
up.
You gay, you can get married. You can go, you know, you wake up on another man's chest, two men. You should be able to wake up with four breasts.
That's a fact.
Two chests. Four breasts.
What would you think about a woman who has two boyfriends?
Well, I've been asked that a lot. It's different for a woman because women are... No, it's different. Women are internal. Everything goes inside of you.
Things go inside of men, too, sometimes.
What men are comfortable... Don't even try to argue the double standard. Girls are hoes if they got more than one guy, and we're not.
I'm saying if your daddy walking on you and you got two...
But if the
two penises
okay,
on your forehead, he's not going to be like, that's my girl. And it don't work that way.
If the two guys are okay with it, though.
But a lot of guys are, and that's why they go to the strip club and they both leave with
the
one girl.
Chick, yeah.
It's different. You know it's a train.
That's not a train.
It's a train. If it's a woman, it's a train.
Girls be like, I had a threesome.
But if
no, you didn't.
But
you
if
got a train
not
ran on
them
you.
Both at the same time. Just
true.
Like
I know. I know girls like that. And girls emotionally, though, I think can't deal with it all the time. I think it's heavy on them.
D-Ray Davis.
The difference maker.
Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee. Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Special guest in the building, Mr. D-Ray Davis.
How was it doing the show with Coco and Carol? Was it difficult for them, like, to put their lives out there like that?
Initially, it was very difficult because everybody, they come from, like, real families. They don't come, like, ain't nobody broken. Didn't nobody daddy disappear? And people always say that. Where they fathers at and all that?
What did their family say?
I mean, it's different. Once they get around me, they're cool because they see it's more like family and friendship. Like, I'm not around them tongue-kissing at the dinner table. Both of them sitting on my laps like, y'all should have raised them better. Like, ain't none of that going on. It's really like I'm their friend, man. I'm their friend first. And they just have it. Men messed up so much that... I'm in a place now. I'm in a position, man, where it's like it's comfortable.
I didn't know. I thought it was reality, but it's not. It's like a scripted, unscripted show, right?
That show, come on, man. Comedians in the room, all we're going to do is talk about each other. They had to stop that. Like, we first shot it like that, sitting at a round table, and dudes was going in, man. Dudes want to fight. Man, you know how I talk.
You're brutal, though. Like, you
exactly.
I don't, like, you go at people, I'm like, damn, they
And
fight
I can fight. So it's different. You know what I mean?
I've seen you out in Miami on the street getting at somebody. So they ready to whoop your ass sometimes.
They could be ready all day, but ready and prepared are two different things.
But see, the thing I like about D-Ray, you don't be trying to be funny. You just be talking. Like, I hate comedians that try to be funny.
Oh, they force it. You ever go to the store? Something at the store, right? the store. You go to the store. Lately, the chips is on the wall. Yeah, I don't. That's because my comedy happened on accident, man. I walked in the comedy club and saw it. I never saw it on TV, so I guess that had a lot to do with it.
Really?
Yeah, I just walked in and seen a comedian on stage, a comedian named Shay Shay, and he started talking about my shirt, and I was mad as hell. So I started yelling back, but nobody told me what a heckler was. And then I learned the next week, I went back, and I was like, I want to try this, and that's how it happened.
So you just went up on stage and got at it.
Yeah, my uncle was a bartender, so I just talked to the dude. I was like, I want to try this. And, you know, I thought I'd open up with a funny rap. That didn't go. Then I ended up doing, like, just talking about people. Men at Large was there.
Yeah.
I roasted the group. They was sitting there, and I was being like you, calling people fat. And I told them, they were talking about my jokes. They said, I have a notebook. They said, you need to open your notebook and get some new jokes. And I was like, you just mad this ain't a menu. And that was it. After that, it was a wrap, man.
Is it hard in Chicago, though, being funny? I asked Deion Cole the same thing, because it's like, Chicago's a rough place.
Well, Deion, my big brother. I don't mean big brother like people. People always, my big brother wants to be successful. You know what I'm saying? Deion went to school with my brother, so I knew Deion since I was like 12 years old. I've been knowing Deion. I seen Deion do the Cotton Club. Deion's just a naturally funny dude, you know, worked hard on his material. As far as me, I feel like me being around him, I'm a lunchroom funny where I talk the, you know, talk the mess in the room. I'm not great at writing and sitting around, but comedians, man, for what little opportunities comics get now, I say it's hard. Yeah, ain't no more Comic View. Mm-hmm. Def Jam ain't around.
Are they doing Def Jam again? I heard that
later. I hope they do it, because that'd be great
Tony
for
Rock
these comics.
Tony Rock is hosting it.
Oh, yeah, it's all Def Digital type thing. Yeah, that'd be good, man. Yeah, Tony Rock, man. Yeah, that's good. Good for Tony, man.
Wow, what's wrong with Tony Rock, man?
No, Tony, my man. Me and Tony, we always compete with each other. Oh, right. I'm funnier.
Okay.
Bottom line, any of these comedians go on stage, they got to go before me. That's just what it is. It's not going to turn out
the
way
they... Why are you so underrated, though?
I don't think D-Ray underrated. I think D-Ray has been...
Dog, they keep... Hey, man, they keep... Oh, no, that's for sure.
He get the checks.
That don't change.
Right.
I don't think it's that, man. I think this kind of conversation, the way I talk now, ain't accepted in the comedy community. As rappers, you could brag. As a ball player, you could brag a little bit. But as a comedian, you being disrespectful and everybody funny is different. I'm like, nah, go on stage, do your 10 minutes. We can go back and forth and see who lasts longest on stage doing 10 minutes. That's just how I love the art.
To compete.
And I love to compete.
Right. And that's most comedians are self-deprecating. You're not self-deprecating.
Man, because they got to be. Most comedians ugly. Most comedians got cute after they made it. Then they handsome. But you was ugly. Come on, man. Come on. Parents made horrible decisions and you was forced to do comedy. See? But, man, you
uh-oh.
Are...
You
toxic, man.
I just...
No, he's toxic. She's about to call him ugly. See, he's going to have a person right here now. Man, sitting next to him, though, I'll be... Man, he always do this.
D-Ray Davis, keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That's right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. We have D-Ray Davis.
You got Girl House coming. I heard that's coming in August.
I have no idea when that's coming out.
You shoot a lot of movies.
That don't come out. In theaters, never.
In theaters, never.
Why is that, though?
I have... Man, what you talking about? Because I go get all the money. If they want to shoot, we going to shoot. But I tell them while we shooting, I don't know if it's coming out.
Yeah.
You did a couple episodes of Empire. You would go to Empire, then they killed you.
Yeah, they did, man. Yeah, I was excited to be on that show too because John Singleton called me, put me on that. He wanted me to do. I did his FX show, Snowfall, and he wanted me to play like the main drug dealing cat on there. And he was basically the casting people over at Fox at the time didn't think I could play that serious a character, so he wanted to show them by putting me on Empire.
Oh, dope!
You also in Chocolate City.
In Chocolate City, yeah.
They should have had you on stage in that.
Yeah, and show my stomach. I'd have lost all my fans. See, I try to keep my situations. You know what I'm saying? I don't step outside my boundaries. You know, I'm a shirt on sex type of guy.
You leave your shirt on during sex?
Shirt on, socks on.
Shirt socks. That's it. Yeah.
Now listen, our interns did research for you, right? And I don't know what this means, but they say you've been vocal about being a gay ally.
I don't know what that means, but if you said if I see two gay people fighting, would I help them? I guess I would.
I guess that was a joke. They must have heard or something.
I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
I have no idea. Okay. What is gay? What ally? Am I ally? Would I go marching for gay people?
Yeah, it says you have been vocal about your being a gay ally. Is there a problem with gay discrimination in the community, in the comedy community? What made you be such a vocal ally for the LGBT community? I'm like, I know.
Wow, all right. Well, let's get into it.
Gay ally? Well,
this is no. Allies like in the
like
U.S. government,
friend. Yeah,
friend. I would say that whatever people want to do, like I've been vocal about, you can't go on stage and people just start going up and gay bash or gay this or I can't say nothing bad about people without having something good, positive to say also on that side of it. I'm saying...
And that comes with you growing up.
Yeah, gotta be. I mean, because when I first got to L.A., mm-hmm. I literally thought that was a disease when I'd see it. Because I'm from Chicago. Being you don't gay. Just be like... I'd be like, oh. I was like, oh. Then my building manager, Steve, let me know he ain't want nothing from me. He's like, dude, you think just because a gay dude... Look, he's like, every gay dude don't want you. Yeah, anybody looking at you, mm-hmm. he's letting me know that... You know, and he ended up being somebody when I was getting evicted, when I wasn't touring. He's somebody that was like, yo, talk to me about the business of owning my own buildings, my own thing. And this is conversation coming from a man who I would never even let talk to me,
right.
Judging by how I was raised and you know, because we was little, you call somebody gay, you fought right away.
Right
and the bad part is some of the kids you call gay and really was, but they was ashamed to say they was.
So you're a gay ally.
I would say, yeah. I would say
that. You're a gay ally.
Okay. That's real. I mean, you know, it's funny because you said you come from Chicago when it was new to you when you saw it in L.A. That's how I feel about transgender women. I feel that same way.
And that's another new. But, you know, it's still – and right now, I don't know how to answer that yet because I haven't – I don't want to say been around I have a, now I don't want to say I have an issue with it because that would take me, does that take me against what I was saying earlier?
No, because I got an issue with it too.
Okay, I don't, I want to know, man. It got to be different, but like, because you go to some of these clubs in New York and it be the glass. This dude across from me, who is...
Well, right? Just because that person's a transgender doesn't mean they want you.
Like, but that's my thing, too.
I think going to the... I think the bathroom is your sacred place, but any decision you make in life, and I mean this, any decision you make from... Let's say we y'all artists in here, and I mean that realistically. Y'all DJs, y'all artists, y'all on the radio. When you make a decision like today, you decide to wear your hair like that, the attention you get from wearing your hair like that is different than when you come in if you feel a little different. So we should accept the attention we're asking for, well, wherever we dressing, however we looking. Like, right. If I come out, I got my hoodie on, and I see four white people across the street, I ask for this attention. With my hoodie on, all dark clothes, middle of the night, you have to, your environment is important to the decision you're making.
But if you're coming from the gym with a hoodie on at night.
True, I mean, too, but you can't not.
You got to be aware. You got to be aware at all times. Right.
That's all I mean.
Of other people's prejudices. Not even just the prejudices of
what you're
doing. You got to be aware of how you're being perceived.
Right, that's a prejudice. Like, people look at you and they have a certain...
Like Amber Rose is the slut walk. I think the name is strength in the name and what you're trying to do, but I think it's other ways to present it.
But it also wasn't something she invented. It was something that's been going on before that in
the
country. So I think just the fact that it was Amber Rose that did it.
That's what made it, yeah.
It was called,
but a lot of people.
But it brought a lot more attention to it, too, at the same time.
True. I just think the attention that you're making, she can be like, why you bring my name up? It's whatever you bring in, whatever you act, whatever you have around you, me with the two girlfriends, I walked into a conversation about two girlfriends.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And somebody somewhere going, ugh, he got two girlfriends. Yeah. What is this world coming to?
Right.
And it's a transgender person going, I only got one person I love, but what's wrong with D-Ray? So,
exactly. All
right. Joking Off is coming back.
Joking Off coming back, 20 episodes.
And you're on tour right now.
On tour, the Funniest Fact Tour, getting ready to shoot another special, finally.
The Funniest Fat Tour.
Funniest Fact, man.
Oh, Fact. I'm like, what?
Say it right for me again.
Funny as Fact.
Man, she can speak good, too.
D-Ray Davis, we appreciate you joining us.
Thank y'all, as usual.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
When y'all book coming out?